he leaves this impression as you read this letter that he was a man that was vigorous, immovable on the things that he knew. When he knew he was right, you weren't going to shake him. We need some of that. All of us need that, because so many times in sharing the faith, we come across, you know, a devil's child who's got all the scary words or the hard questions. Be immovable, steadfast, always abounding in the faith, knowing that your labor is not in vain.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of James. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick will continue his introduction to the book of James in James chapter 1.
We're not to abandon hope because things aren't working out the way we want them to, as much as we want them to. We are to fight. That hope is to excite us to believe, to trust, to move forward, always pressing forward. That's development. That's maturity. That's the life in Christ, no matter what comes against us, because we know what we know is true because it has been settled in our hearts by Christ himself through his Holy Spirit. Do you know the whole family got saved? Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That's the apostles. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The power of God. You just don't give up. Christ did not give up. You know, James, if he couldn't get the gospel when I was walking around doing these miracles and things like that, forget him. He doesn't do that. He's risen again and he seeks James out and he saves his soul. Be encouraged. Discouragement does not win battles in Christ or anywhere else. It does not mean that we see the problems as small. They're small to God. But it does mean is we will fight them in Christ and we will fight them with faith. We will not give up. Should your pastor tell you anything less? You're confronted with something that's terrifying? Just quit. Lie down. Ask the devil for mercy. See what that gets you. Trust God. Believe in God. He is God and you know it. Now we have to consider James and Judaism because it's very much a part of the history of the church and how we got to where we are today. We almost didn't make it. I'll point it out, hopefully. He was solid in his righteousness. I do not want to for one second question the morality and the righteousness of James according to the prophets whom he read and believed in. But in the early days of the church, he had not yet worked through this fact that Judaism was obsolete in nature. He just didn't get it. Paul wrote the Roman letter, the Galatian letter, and Hebrews. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Sorry, I've got to say that every time I mention it, but I'm going to have to deal with this very problem that almost wiped out Christianity. There was still very little difference between Christianity and Judaism amongst the Jews who believed. And there were great many Jews who believed. James says there were myriads of Jews that believed, but that they believed in Messiah mixed in with Mosaic law. And so these difficult days, it must have been for a righteous Jew to come to Christ and say he is the Messiah and then abandon Judaism and take up Christianity as we know it without having any precepts laid out for them as we do for us. And so he carried, as did all those Jews in Jerusalem, they carried their Judaism over into church life. In fact, the church in her early stages was still meeting. The converted Jews were still going to synagogues. This turned out to be a good thing because Paul used them for a platform. They clung to the Sabbath, to circumcision, to dietary laws, to Aaron's rituals. the law of Moses in general. James practiced it. He promoted it. It did not just vanish. He did not figure it all out. He knew who Christ was. That was not a problem after his conversion. The Jews, they knew who he was. They knew he died for their sins. He rose again. They just could not figure how to disengage the now obsolete Mosaic law. And we have to be very, very careful and make sure we're not hard in criticizing them. Because as I mentioned, this was a very difficult transition. And one that was quite magnificent in how God brought it about in the end. Missing from the thinking of James were these words that God used Paul to bring in that early part of Christian history. 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." To this day, Christians can't do this. Not all Christians, but many, they just can't get into the new life. They still cling to things that really are stumbling blocks. Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." Do you know they tried to kill Paul, the Jews? They hated him for saying these things. So again, difficult days. But in the midst of this confusion, the essentials of the faith held them. You say, well, then why bother taking it out? Because if it wasn't settled by a man like Paul, God raised up Paul to do this thing, eventually Judaism would have just absorbed Christianity and it would have gone away. So the conflict now we come to between James and Paul. On a few occasions, James is seen in Scripture interfering with the work of Christ. We mentioned the one where the mother and brothers felt that he was lost his mind, and they went to, you know, bring him home, give him care. And, of course, that didn't happen, thank God. That was one. And then the second is in Antioch. I referenced it already. Antioch, Syria, which was, again, 300 miles to the north or so of Jerusalem. Galatians 2, we read this, "For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision." So I should have set that up a little bit more for some of you who might not be aware of what's going on. Up at that church in Antioch, the Gentiles were now in the church. And Simon Peter and Barnabas, along with Paul, they were up in that church. They were eating with the Gentiles, enjoying, you know, are these ribs? Pork ribs? This is outstanding. Thank you, Jesus. We can eat this. And then James knew this stuff was going on. And so he sends up a contingent. Peter and Barnabas immediately drop the ribs and go back to the lamb. They're on the lamb. So they say, I'm not going to eat. It's a critical hour in the history of Christianity. If they prevailed, if no one stood up against this, that would have been it. Judaism would have absorbed. The Judaizers would have prevailed. That would have been the end of the Gentiles being reached as Gentiles, and the Old Testament law passed away. Paul, the only man on earth standing between the future of Christianity and her absorption. How painful it must have been to stand up to Peter. He loved Peter. Peter, this brawny, we get the idea he's brawny because he hauls in all these fish by himself and nobody else could do it, and we get the idea that Peter's a robust man. Paul, on the other hand, is small framed, rather frail, has taken quite a few beatings, has missed some meals in the deliverance of the gospel, delivering it to the Gentile world. And so there's this picture of this brawny man, Peter, and Paul chewing him out. Paul says, "To whom we did not yield submission for even an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you," Galatians 2:5. I didn't budge an inch. And then there was Barnabas, his buddy. Not Barnabas stabbing me in the back. He knows better. We went to all these Gentile places and made these converts. How could Barnabas crack? And Paul is left alone. But Paul was a tiger. James was a tiger. And Paul was a bigger tiger. He's more experienced. He had taken so much face and head on. He had stared down Satan. And so such practices as circumcision, Sabbath keeping, and again eating the dietary foods of the Jews, the Aaronic rituals, that was irrelevant to the Gentiles. And it was irrelevant to God at this point, not before the resurrection. Now it is. Transition period. The theologians like to call it dispensation. Better word is a different period in time. And they just love making up big words because they have so much ink. Got to use it. It's not enough letters in that word. Anyway, we need the theologians. God bless their hearts. James, he modified his views on these things for the Gentiles. And that was the big issue in Acts chapter 15 when they had the council. The church called a council. We're going to get to the bottom of this. That was a very good thing. The church did not say, we're not going to deal with this. No, they said, well, this has to be settled. And Paul goes down to Jerusalem and he lays it out and they say, I'm not going to disagree with that man. He was fierce there. I'm sure he was very poised and polite and probably just like me, speaks very calm, doesn't get excited. But they knew. James, however, was not prepared to dilute Judaism for Christianity because he couldn't understand. He couldn't get his head around it yet. And so we understand that. The Jews had not learned to separate and that they would be all right with Christianity. They did not understand grace as we now do because of the Pauline writings. And so Jerusalem, again, the Jews there, this is years later, back to Jerusalem Paul goes after the council. And now he almost loses his life because of James. They, led by James, approached Paul and pressured him for unity's sake, of course. They wanted him to make a bloodless sacrifice at the temple. Paul really should not have done that. But there's a saying when it comes to wisdom. Wisdom knows how to overlook. It has to learn to choose its battles. Not because it agrees or gives a pass, but it begins to understand what will make matters worse and harm the solution versus what will get it done. Do this without sinning requires spiritual wisdom. Well, Paul did not get to make that offering. God interfered. But let's pick it up, Acts chapter 21, verse 18. Paul has come to Jerusalem. He's brought Gentiles with him to Jerusalem. These are converts from idolatry, not trophies, but fruit of the Lord. Trophimus, whom later in years he will leave in Miletus sick. But at this point, Trophimus is with one of them with Paul. And on the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. And when they heard it about the fruit, converts, they glorified the Lord. And they said to him, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. There it is. They're still into Aaron. They don't understand grace. James thought this was okay. Paul knew better. Therefore, it continues, do what we tell you. We will have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them and pay their expenses. And this was not cheap. So that they may shave their heads and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. Paul will take this out with his pen. He will take out, I don't want to use the word revenge, but he will address this with his pen, the Roman letter, the Galatian letter, and the Hebrews essentially. And so in the end, it led directly to his getting a beating and his near death and his imprisonment and arrest at the temple, all because they wanted to show the world
that Paul was still one of them.
Christianity struggled. It was hard days. And so when we see struggles in the church today, we're not supposed to, oh, I can't believe it. When you see, you know, some great figure in the church stumble, we're not to applaud it, of course, it's terrible. We're not supposed to be so surprised that I can't believe this is happening. Why not? Do you not know that Satan goes around like a roaring lion looking whom he may devour? He's hungry. And so we have to be mature with these things. Unfortunately, so many Christians get an F when it comes to maturity. But they'll tell you they're mature. They just behave immaturely. The smallest things upset them when they should not. There's not a lot of good things to say about a lot of Christians when it comes to loyalty. When the pressure is put on some of us, we crumble very quickly. Well, this story from the book of Acts, and as we go through the letters, you get the impression that James was always uncomfortable with Paul because Paul was further along. None of this blocks out what James writes to us. Everything he writes is from the Holy Spirit. James is in heaven. He's a godly man. But the Holy Spirit says, I'm not going to sweep this under the rug. You need to know how difficult it is dealing with sinners even when they're converted. You need to understand the dynamics of truth versus that which is not right. To this day, it accounts for Christians that we really don't like, but we know they're saved. And we are thankful that when we see them in heaven, we still won't like them.
No, all that will be gone. None of it will be left. We won't have conversations like, well, you know, when we were on earth, I really didn't like you, but now you're nice. That stuff is just junk. It won't be there.
James had not understood that Christ ushered in a new ministry, a ministry of reconciliation, that when the temple veil was torn from top to bottom, Judaism was obsolete. I know I've said that, but it's a point that needs to be driven home.
The church seemed to have washed their hands, the church in Jerusalem, washed their hands of Paul. Paul gets arrested. Nobody comes. We have no record of James coming to visit him, sending him a fruit basket or anything. They just like, he's out of our hands. I'm not saying they didn't pray for him, but I am saying there's no evidence, and how wonderful it would have been if Luke could have written and James visited Paul. We don't have it.
The influence of Paul's writings, they took away the hindrances of Judaism in the lives of others. When the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem by Titus and his armies in 70 AD, that was it for Judaism, really, as it was in the days of Paul. And the Judaism was no longer the primary hindrance to the church. Gnosticism then took its place. Paul never attacks James for these things in his writings. He never attacks the church in Jerusalem for their shortcomings. He is such a dynamo of the faith. A little bit more criticism, if you can, I don't know if you can say it that way, but these are lessons from the life of James, the missing man. Where was he at the cross? Well, he was not yet a believer, but he became a believer. Great hope there. Where was he at the arrest and imprisonment of Paul? Again, he was missing at that time. His Christianity, as I said, never rose above Judaism, not far above Judaism. Paul blew it away. He just completely, those things that I had counted special, I now count as dung, Paul said. Whatever things were gained to me, that I've counted as dung. His Hebrew education in the scriptures had to be filtered out and Christianity put in its place. And so, still, the Holy Spirit chooses this man to write this essential scripture, and that should encourage all of us. There is a great deal of compressed theology, compressed lessons about our faith, our God, our Savior, our lives in Christ in this little document. It is interesting, is it not? And this is the final note on James. We've got 20 minutes, 2 hours left. I'll be wrapping it up shortly. From the cross,
Jesus does not say to Mary, go home with James. She sends him to John. The New Testament was eclipsing the Old Testament. And it is as though the Lord said, I know James is going to have to struggle through a lot of things. The best place for you, Mary, is with those who are a little bit further ahead in understanding. James will catch up, but just not yet. Well, finally, there is James, the Christian, and his letter. Now, again, he commanded respect wherever he went in his life, and so he does in his letter. And he leaves this impression as you read this letter that he was a man that was vigorous, immovable on the things that he knew. When he knew he was right, you weren't going to shake him. We need some of that. All of us need that, because so many times in sharing the faith, we come across, you know, a devil's child who's got all the scary words or the hard questions. Be immovable, steadfast, always abounding in the faith, knowing that your labor is not in vain, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. His short sentences, they fall like hammer strokes. Bang, bang, repeatedly, and we know he is right. And I think any Christian that goes through a serious study of the letter of James will be better off. We will all be edified by these things. You may have a lot of questions. You feel free to ask David or Sean, but not me. They might be hard, and I'm kidding, of course. Well, we come to the bottom of the verse, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He wastes no time in claiming the lordship and anointing of Christ on the same level as God. So he knew who Christ was. When I said that earlier, they had the essentials. It's based on what we, the record we have. It's not just a wishful hope. He knew who Christ was. He says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So he wrote to the Jews, the dispersed Jews. Jews living outside of Israel throughout the Roman Empire at this time. Christian Jews. Again, who were still attending synagogues in many cases. Acts chapter 2, we're told about the Jewish men. They had to go to Jerusalem three times a year, and the Feast of Pentecost was one of them. That's when the Holy Spirit was given to the church, not to show off. Some people think, it seems, that the Holy Spirit is given so they can show off. Oh, watch it be. I can speak in tongues. I can speak in tongues while standing on one foot. And it's just it's showing off. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to edify the church to preach Christ, is to make your faith stronger to preach Christ. You need discernment. Not everyone has as much discernment as the other one, and sometimes those with discernment, they miss it too. But we need the gifts. The tongues are designed to edify the believer. Not all Christians need tongues. Some could use it. It's at God's discretion to fit the personality. Doesn't mean any less or more on the individual who has or has not. But to think that God has given the spiritual gifts at Pentecost for Christians to show off how spiritual they are only proves they are loaded with pride and ignorance. And so be careful if you're one of those who wants to show off one of the evidence gifts. The greatest gift a Christian can have is love. And if you don't have that one, who really cares about the other ones? That's the main one. If I have not love, though I give myself to be burned as a martyr for Christ, what good is it if it's a false burning? Love. It doesn't come easy. But anyway, back to Acts chapter 2, verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and a great many of those are saved. Luke gives us many of the cities from which they had come. And this is when he says the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, this is how they got to be believers, many of them at Jerusalem and during the days of Pentecost through the preaching of Peter and the apostles. And so that is an overview of James the man. We close with the word he opens with, and that is greetings. In the Hebrew, that is rejoice. So he opens his letter as James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, rejoice. What a wonderful way to begin to open up a box of hammers on the flesh.
Thanks for joining us today as we took a deeper look into the book of James here on Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference Radio is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. We're blessed to bring you God's Word with each broadcast. If you'd like more information or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. If you've been blessed by this program, we'd love to hear from you. When you visit the website, simply click on the Contact Us link at the top of the page and leave us a message. That website again is crossreferenceradio.com. Please join us again next time as we continue our study through the book of James, right here on Cross Reference Radio.